Welcome back, and we're here for our final presentation for this evening. We're here now with the Upper Marion Shade Tree and Beautification Commission. We have two members that are present with us this evening, and I will allow them the opportunity to do the presentation. Please introduce yourselves.
Hello, I'm Jerome Ocker.
Chair.
Chair.
And I'm Barley Van Cleef, not chair.
She's the vice chair right now.
All right, so
we have a little PowerPoint here for you, so make it a little more interesting to see some photographs. So we're going to start with our activities, and then we're going to talk about our future plans, and then what some of our concerns would be. I'm not sure where I'm supposed to look. Right there?
You can speak to us.
So am I talking to you guys? Okay. All right, so as you can see from this first slide, we continue to do tree maintenance on the trees that we planted primarily in the parks, as well as along Crow Creek Trail and now the West Schuylkill River Trail. And the maintenance usually includes, pulling out weeds and clearing around these trees, keeping the vines out of them, as well as other saplings that are coming up, we're cutting those back. And you can see in this picture too that there's some deer protection on there, but it's starting to girdle the tree, so we have to update those or remove them so that the trees don't get girdled by the way they're attached to the trees. So Jerry helps us sometimes by getting commercial business volunteers to help us do some of this work, but it's all primarily done by volunteers. The next slide is the use of our tree nursery that we had built with a BCA grant, 2 years ago?
Oh, I think it took a couple of years to do.
Yeah, so you can see me there in the picture. That's what it looks like in the summertime. We put that covering over the top so these young saplings are not, beat up by the sun as much. And in the wintertime, we remove that. That's been really helpful for us to have a place to store stock and use it and use it as we can and not have to buy. So that's a big help. The other thing is these students here were helping us do some planning at McCaig. Okay. We've been working with Vetus. He has a lot of contacts to help us get trees. And we've used that. So, I mean, we're talking like getting 300-400 trees at a time.
Jerome, is that where some of those trees in the nursery are coming from?
No, that's where they were planting. They were planting some at McCaig.
But the trees in the nursery,
are you
doing that yourself from to create the saplings? Meaning,
we're not starting them from seed. We're getting them. And some of they're, some are only a foot tall, some are
or less than that. Some they're tiny.
So it's a place to keep them, so we can use them in the future.
But you can see how big they've grown, under mm-hmm. our care. It's like pretty neat. They're actually trees by the time we're planting them. Yeah.
The other thing we're obviously doing is keeping our eye on the arboretum, and you can see that in that slide there. We have to update. Some of our tags are already getting overgrown like that, and we've replaced those, and we're using some stainless steel screws now instead. So you can see that we want to keep the tag away from the bark. But as trees put on more wood every year, it becomes a problem, and you have to replace those tags. Big thing that happened this year with the arboretum is that the township was able to help us with some of the really big dead trees that were becoming a hazard. And they removed, I'm gonna say, maybe 8 trees for us. And that was a real big help to us because we don't have a lot of funding to take care of the arboretum. And we'd like to do some more work there. There's a lot of pruning that needs to be done.
Some of them were ash that came down.
Yeah.
We know about ashes, right?
We know about ashes. Yes.
So the next slide is the tree planting slide. You can see some some figures there of the amount of trees that we've been planting every year. These are bare root trees, and the picture there has the Girl Scouts. We've had this same group of Girl Scouts, I think it's the same group, a couple years now, and so they're getting into a little bit of rhythm with us to help plant trees, and that's great.
And they're also helping to fund the trees. They use their cookie money.
Really? I wasn't aware of that.
Awesome. Buy more cookies.
That's right, cookies. Absolutely. Buy more cookies from that tree.
All right, next slide is the riparian project. This was done by an Eagle Scout for a conservation award, and there were 250 trees planted. And you know what happened here with the vandals, right? So we caught two boys that were messing with these trees, and they were tracked down by the police, and they admitted to it. And so instead of charging them before the judge, which the township could have done, they got 50 hours of community service. And primarily what they did for those 50 hours was they mulched all the trees in Boise Park for us. So that was a good thing that had to be done. All right, Marley's going to talk to you about some of the future things.
So Tina asked me to at least briefly mention the Healthy Yards program, and I know that you've had a presentation about it in the past, but it's closer to being actually a reality now. It is what we've decided is going to replace the beautification awards, which the value of that is that it puts an environmental
aspect
to it. Makes it, in our opinion anyway, more valuable than just having it look nice. And there's a lot to be said about looking nice, but having it actually function for the environment, for stormwater, for wildlife, for all of the different things that trees can do, it's much more important in our opinion. So you may remember that there are 21 different components to the program, and each yard that is going to be awarded will have to adhere to 15 out of those 21 in order to get a little sign that says that they are a healthy yard. And it's going to be launched officially Saturday on Earth Day. The group is going to be, in fact, I think they've already gone and gotten small native plants that they're going to give out in little packets to people to get them started on the whole program. They're going to talk about how the program works, where the website can be found, what the different parameters are. And our role is basically talking about the trees. You know, we help them with the tree part of that whole program. But it's very exciting, and I can't wait to see how many people actually want to do it. So the BCA grants, we thought we'd talk about what we did with our money, what we've done with the money. So the 2024 grant, we called Tools of the Trade, and we just purchased stuff that we use on a regular basis when we're taking care of and planting trees. So we got a wheelbarrow, which is a really important thing for carrying mulch, and we got another stake pounder, which is a healthy way of putting in those stakes for the bare root trees. Let's see, a pickaxe, because you never know what you're going to find underneath there. And then these are the tree guards that we were talking about. We got 6 inchers to replace the 4-inch ones that are now, thankfully, the trees are growing out of. You know, it's really a neat thing to see that the trees are actually growing that well.
Mm-hmm. Can you reuse the 4-inchers? Or we are.
Absolutely, we are. Yeah, no, nothing goes wasted, truly. So that's what we did with our 2024 money, and if we should be so lucky as to get the 2025 grant, what we are planning is what we're calling tree canopy enhancement in targeted neighborhoods. So at one of our meetings, Jarrett came and discussed the comprehensive plan, and he showed us that there was a map where that I think DVRPC created that was done by LIDAR technology that shows areas in the township where there is a lack of tree canopy. And we have really great tree canopy in some of our areas, but there are definitely neighborhoods where there could be a lot of trees planted. And so our plan is to provide more highly subsidized trees in those neighborhoods. We will go along, this is a little bit like the beautification boards, we'll drive along and say, this house could have a tree, this house could have a tree. We'll write down the addresses. Kathy has already said that she could help us to write, well, we'll write the letter, but she'll give us the addresses to notify these people that they would be eligible for what is almost going to be a free tree, possibly could be a free tree. Mm. We might charge them $10 or something, because our understanding is that if people get something for free, they don't value it as highly as if they invest something in the tree. But with that in mind, we're hoping then pretty soon we'll have more streets that are covered with tree. And, you know, one of the neat things about trees is that the shade actually protects the asphalt. So that means less road work, which, you know, that's kind of a neat thing. Anyway, so that's our plan for this year if we do get it. And, you know, we'll always be looking for suggestions, too. I know Jared and I sat down and we've already identified a number of neighborhoods just based on Google Maps and this.
That's the tree canopy. That's the tree. Right now, currently.
Yeah. The really green areas are where there is a pretty decent canopy, but anywhere that there's sort of white, that's where there's nothing. And some of that is commercial areas, but some of it is residential as well.
I was just going to ask that if this program is, if you win the grant, awarded the grant, is it just for residential properties and not commercial properties?
Well, I think what we'll do is target the residential first, and then if we have money left over that it doesn't seem like it's going to get used, then we could certainly go for commercial, because no matter where the tree is planted, it's going to help everybody. So, yeah, absolutely.
We're just looking to do 30 this year?
Yeah, 30, depending on how much of a subsidy we give them. You know, maybe a few more, a few less. But that's as many as we figured that we can actually watch over. So, and we'll provide them, they'll get, you know, all of the things they need in order to plant the tree, and then we'll provide them with our tree guards that we got last year and for the deer. Mm-hmm. So that's the plan for that. And then I thought I'd just mention the rain garden, which we were also involved in, and I know that probably the EAC has mentioned that in their presentation, but we helped also with the educational piece that is the sign. That's actually the sign that is out there right now. I know that the EAC is looking for money from the BCA to plant more larger shrub material and stuff. So, but it's going to be a really great project once it really starts to grow up. So there is that. And then what we're going to do on Saturday at Earth Day, I thought maybe you'd be interested in knowing what our theme is this year. And the theme is what to consider before planting a tree. So we are going to be showing them this, and we'll be handing out if they're interested. But this basically is a demonstration of how to plant the right tree in the right spot. So you don't plant a large oak tree underneath overhead wires, and you need to know where your electrical lines are underneath as well, and your sewer lines and your water lines and so forth. So all of these things are important to consider. So we'll be showing them this and talking about it. And then also we have a soil, an example of a soil test, and talk about how important it is to know what your soil is like when you choose the tree to go in that soil, because each tree needs a certain parameter of the pH, a certain nutrient kind of composition. And this is what Jerome, he's an agronomist, he should be the one that's talking about that. But he's going to be there telling people all about this. So, and then we'll talk about all of the other things that you need to think about when you're choosing a tree. Do you want it to be a flowering tree? Do you want it to be a shade tree? Do you want a fruit tree? So that kind of thing. So that's what we're doing on Saturday, and we'd love to have you stop by. So, and all of the people watching. So then, the continuing concerns.
Here yeah, continuing
things,
concerns. So
things we've talked about at the meeting.
It's obvious, it should be obvious to you guys that we want to preserve trees. Okay. So, especially large trees. We also want to try to keep as much of our green areas green, which could be maybe restricting some development at some point, I don't know. But where development does occur, you know, we have the, what do they call it, the Fee and Lieu.
Fee and Lieu.
Fee and Lieu. we wanna try to preserve the larger trees, and if they're taken out, then we have money to plant more trees. That's part of that, that's the way that's supposed to work. So, but realize this, you know, when you take out a 20 or 30 inch caliper tree, how many little trees do you think it's gonna take to make up for that tree?
And how many years?
A whole ton. I mean, it's exponential, the difference when you take out big trees. So we really wanna try to focus on saving them. And we're gonna look at, looking at, what do we call that? What am I looking for?
One of the things that we're thinking to incentivize that is to think about considering with your input and approval, maybe increasing the fine for taking out the trees or whatever.
Yeah.
Making it more of an incentive to keep the trees than it is. Because I think it's too easy to say, okay, if you have to pay $100 for a tree that's gone out, that's hardly anything to those developers.
Right.
But that tree is worth a whole lot more. I mean, that tree could be worth $80,000. So
right.
That they take out. So that's something that we'd like to explore.
Hmm. Yeah, we may have to try to write some new ordinances. That's the word I'm looking for. New ordinances in regards to protecting these larger trees.
Jerome, is there? Could you mention, you know, the like a 30 caliber tree? How many trees? How many trees do you have to plant to kind of equal that?
Yeah.
Is there a calculation somewhere?
There is in the ordinance in the SALDO right now. There is something.
In our SALDO.
Well, it doesn't really replace what that tree can do.
No.
It's just a number to give it some value. You know?
I think it's something like if you have a 12-inch tree that goes out, you have to plant 6 trees or whatever. But
depending on 12,
equivalent, but it's not really equivalent because you're talking about 50 years there.
Now I'm also concerned about the more road trail plants. Okay, we've talked about this a lot in our meetings, and Tina knows where I stand. In fact, we took a little walk out there a couple weeks ago, so I could show her what I was talking about. And you know, the Moore Road is directly adjacent to the Arboretum, and the Arboretum, we want to try to keep it quiet and this nice place to visit. And so that border against the road there is very significant to us because it blocks the noise and even the visual part. You know, if you're back in there on the Arboretum, you're completely separated from all the noise of the urban area. And so we want to have that boundary kept. And so I'm hoping that we can get to where we just have the trail on the other side of Moore Road. But I don't know if we can get there. But that would be what I would prefer. The other thing I'm concerned about is the Moore House. What's going to happen with the Moore House? If it's going to get demoed, what kind of impact is that going to have on the Arboretum? And how that's performed is going to be really important. So that's a concern.
Jerome, is the concern more about the process of potential demolition or something else?
Yeah, the process. Like okay. You're talking soil compaction, protecting the trees around the building. Okay.
So there's two issues there. One is protection of the Arboretum. The other one is the building itself. If the building were to stay in some way, shape, or form, how does that affect the Arboretum?
Minimally.
Yeah.
There's one tree that we think should be removed that would be over that grows over the roof and it's got some issues. One of those big southern magnolias.
Yeah.
The one that's right at the house?
It's
there's two there, and one's in bad shape, but that one should probably go if you're gonna keep the building and renovate it.
If any part of the building were to be kept, that should go, mm-hmm. is what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. If significant environmental remediation had to be done to Moore Irwin House, just to preserve Moore Irwin House, would what goes into environmental remediation possibly affect the Arboretum?
I think that if there is going to be equipment, what needs to happen is there need to be tree protection, what's called tree protection zones placed around each tree, which is basically something of a significant snow fence type of thing about where the tree canopy drip line would be, so that, because that's where the major roots are.
And some of those trees are too so close to the building that it'd be almost impossible to protect them to that degree.
Right.
But to some degree,
it's the best we can.
The best we can. Yeah.
But I mean, it needs to not be ignored. I mean, you know, so often. And that's part of the whole preservation of the trees for the development too, is that we see that these tree protection zones are not actually being adhered to or even created. So we'll go by and there'll be a fence, but then they'll have dumped all of the soil inside the fence. Because, you know, trees like soil, right? But they don't like mounds of soil that actually suffocate the roots. So yeah,
right.
and
burying the tree is not going to be good.
Burying the tree is not good, and also just access, not just around the building, but you know, how are the big equipment going to get around the building to the
not
other
sure
side
how.
Of the building, and how many trees will that affect? Those kinds of things are just that, you know, things that maybe you don't think about.
Might make the job more expensive.
Yeah,
to try to preserve
just something
the trees.
To think about. Yeah.
So
or preserve the house.
So. Or preserve the house, sure.
Yeah. Just any work that is done, it just needs to be in our heads. Yeah, thoughtful about it.
I think the last thing I'm going to mention is the development plans for Heuser. I'm not sure where that's at, but again, I would hope that we try to preserve as much of the wooded areas as possible. I don't know to what extent that's going to be developed, but there's a lot of land there and there's a lot of trees in certain areas, and other areas are not so many trees. So I hope they take those kinds of things into consideration. Maybe they can pull us in to the planning at some point.
Which they do. I mean, you know, we're very lucky to have Mary Ann and Hearn comes to our meetings, and you
mm-hmm.
know, when we're on the agenda, we go to their meetings. So we do have a really good cooperation with that group, so. Yeah, but.
So that's our presentation. You guys have other questions?
Well, I'll start off on, I just appreciate everything that Shade Tree does, that of all of the commissions and boards, the boots on the ground work and efforts that you do is incomparable, that many, many, many hours. And I know you have a good working relationship with staff here in the township, and
so grateful for that.
And it works well for that. That yeah, and you need that, because yes, like I said, you are so active and involved mm-hmm. in so many things with this preservation of the trees, and the plantings and maintenance, and just everything you do. It's just countless hours, and greatly appreciated. And it's necessary. It's very necessary.
We're probably the only board that deals with poison ivy all the time.
And ticks.
Too. And sorry about that, but
you know, and ticks. Yeah.
I'm very excited about the new program that'll be starting, the Healthy Yards program. That I hope that the residents really pay attention to what this is all about. And even if you don't get the award, even if you don't meet, what
right.
did you say? I wrote that 15 out of 21.
Yeah.
Just work towards that.
Yeah.
Every little bit that you work towards.
Right.
I hope that I get an award. So that's one of my goals.
Yes.
That, yeah, I've been working hard on my yard lately, and I'm hoping. So we'll see if I meet the requirements for it. But yeah, I implore all the residents to get involved in this. And stormwater management, we know what an issue that is.
Yeah.
And trees and plantings are a vital part of helping with that issue. So.
Mm-hmm.
Being knowledgeable about that is more helpful. And I appreciate what you're going to be doing at Earth Day as well. That I know that like something, a builder comes in and there's a quota. You have to replace four trees in a yard. And they're not really giving thought to where and which ones. And they're planting four trees. And
Just throw them in the ground.
Yes, and residents themselves, if they want to do planting, say, you buy this small little bush or this small little tree and you plant it right beside your house, not really realizing that it's going to be 30 feet tall and the width is, yes, so I appreciated that that is the, that is your educational program.
And we're more than willing to give advice, you know?
Yeah.
Our manager here had.
I asked for advice on two trees, Barley was able to get, find them, and drone came out to show me where I should put them, and they have leafed out beautifully.
Oh, that's good to hear.
Yes, so.
Great.
Yeah, just getting educated about trees and the heights, like you said, the height of them, that you plant a one tree and then it's close to your house, but that's going to be the large one, and you put a small one beside it, and one doesn't allow the other one to grow properly even, so all that education is important.
The other thing we really need to educate about is these darn mulch volcanoes.
There's supposed to be space around the trunks to let the tree breathe.
3 inches, yes.
And, you can bury them in mulch, you can bury them in soil. It's not good either way.
No,
you don't want to bury them. Yeah.
So I was lucky enough to catch the, they were mulching behind the community center along the pool parking lot, and I am watching them build it. So I went and I told them, no, don't do it. And then I went to my class, and then when I came back, they had fixed them. I was like, oh my goodness, that's wonderful. So yeah.
Now, are there spacers that you put around a tree that you remove, and like it's all self-created? You have to actually physically just.
Yeah, okay. It's not real technical.
Okay.
It's 3 inches, you know, or hand width.
You know, the tree has a root flare generally, so it flares out at the bottom, or you go to where the first root is. Right. And that's where your soil line should be. Should be flat there. Yeah. Out here, you can put plenty of mulch, but right around the tree.
Maybe we shouldn't mulch our trees at all.
Well,
it's very helpful in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because it helps hold soil moisture. It insulates in the wintertime and even in the summertime. So you don't have as much fluctuation in soil temperature.
And as it decomposes, it actually enriches
nutrients.
The soil.
You keep the weeds down.
But that's a good point that maybe the people at home really need to better understand, and that's mulching in general. And Jerome, I remember when you came out to my house a couple of years back, and we looked at trees, and you were telling me, you know, you've got to get rid of this because I was bunched up. But the point is, most people don't know when they're going out and even mulching
right.
their front bed, you know, gardens or beds or whatever. What's the right amount of mulch to put down? And you know, what's the right mulch to put down? Those are big questions. People just buy it and then throw it down. And I've seen it everywhere. I've seen it in good and bad because I've gone to mulch fires where you've had 4 inches of mulch and you have the fire burrowed down into the ground. But maybe it's something for the general public to understand is what's a good mulching dimension?
You know, that's what we should do for next year's Earth Day. Mm-hmm. We'll have a mulch volcano there and talk about how it's killing the tree. I was just flabbergasted. I drove up a street, an unnamed street, and I looked, and there was this beautiful mulch volcano that had just been done. You could tell it was brand new around a stump. The tree had died because of last year's mulch volcano. And it was like...
We need some education there.
Yeah.
I think one of the things that was real popular years ago was, use triple shredded mulch. Triple shred, you know, the finer the better. The problem with real fine mulch like that, though, is it can become hydrophobic because it gets packed and it actually cakes together. Mm-hmm. And then the water runs off.
Sheds it.
It doesn't even absorb the water. So I like to have different particle sizes in the mulch, big and small.
They're even saying wood chips are better than you know, the commercial. Yeah. So.
I just have one thing, and I'll be brief. And this isn't really so much for now. It's for years down the road. As you may know, the township has acquired a parcel of land next to Walker Park and next to the Mullen Track. It's also borders along the Pennsylvania Turnpike. It is a completely industrialized parcel now. But in the future, it is my hope, certainly, that that parcel gets fully integrated into those parks somehow. So that may be an opportunity for the Shade Tree and Beautification Commission to find a way to add some trees in the coming years. Once again, this is going to take time. But that parcel of land is ours, and I do believe that it will eventually be the industrial.
So this is right across from the Catholic and
MD. It is across from MD.
So that big open grassy area,
that
part of it?
That's the Mullet Marsh. But you go behind there.
Yeah. The trail goes through there.
Yes.
The walker.
You go behind there. There is an industrial parcel. It borders directly along the Pennsylvania Turnpike.
Yeah.
That is ours. So
that's yours now. Okay. I didn't know that. Yeah, there used to be a landscaper or somebody in there back in that road.
So is there a building there
yes.
at this point?
It's still an industrialized parcel is the best way I would describe it.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you're saying we could...
That will stay or will be taken away?
Unsure.
The building?
Okay.
There's a garage.
There's a garage that will stay.
Yeah, there's other, I mean, the whole thing is...
So you want to keep it park-like is what you're saying?
Well, it's not... anything even remotely close to a park now, which is,
whoa.
Yeah. But
it's
I'm
green.
Just saying, no. I'm not talking about the Mullen Tracks.
Oh.
I'm talking about this industrialized
okay.
parcel
I haven't seen
that borders the Mullen Track, that borders Walker
okay.
Park. And in the coming years, at least
okay.
I hope that it will not be all completely concrete and it will not be
right.
all completely industrialized. So, if that is what happens, and that parcel does become deindustrialized to some extent, that is an opportunity for the Shade Tree Beautification Commission to do what you guys do best and to green it up, you know, participate in the greening up of that you know now industrialized parcel.
Well, that is what we know how to do.
So that's open to the public right now. I
no,
can go back.
No,
no,
not yet.
Not
quite yet.
It's industrialized.
We
I asked permission.
So the word is.
Thank you.
Own it now. So.
All right. Let me know when I can check it out.
Okay.
Yeah. We will.
You have to take the concrete away.
Mm-hmm.
Can't plant a tree.
Let's do a road trip. Once we get access,
yeah,
we'll do a road
good.
Trip.
Yeah. That'd be fun.
All right.
Awesome. Anything in addition? Well, thank you. Your last presentation for the evening. Appreciate you coming in. Appreciate all the work that you do and all the information you provided. And we are at a point of time to adjourn the meeting then.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Our meeting is adjourned. Thank you.